This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. There's been a lot of Texas Rangers news. It's time now that we get a proper round tripper in here with our official Rangers insider and expert, Zach Wolchuk.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got it, buddy.
Getting a little tickled over here, excuse me, as I was just replaying some of what was said in the break a little while ago. There was one line that just got me rolling a little
bit. When Brada sent me to the corner?
It was like, well, don't talk about, you can just go sit outside then next time we're talking about the draft.
It would have been pretty great.
It goes into timeout over here. Like, fine, screw you.
We should do draft talk.
Our draft segment should have me over in the corner studio.
You know what? Just go take your happy ass outside.
In timeout, the timeout corner.
I don't know.
On the opposite side of the house of the crusty corner.
Yeah, no, it's passion, it's emotion. That's why we love sports.
If you watch on 105thefan.com, Twitch, or YouTube, you can go back to about, I'd say 5:07 is when it started, and then stay with it in the break if you got the video replay. Mm-hmm. You will not get any audio at the break.
That was the
you'll
best
get
stuff,
a lot of.
I'll tell you what, Mickey and I went after it one time. On DallasCowboys.com.
Yeah.
And like Mickey said something and I went back at him, and during, we went to break, Bill Jones was like running the show.
Refereeing.
And then me and Mickey, literally he and I were leaning over the table, MFing each other. I mean, like face to face. And Rob Phillips like is like, guys. And I looked at Rob and I said, you shut the F up.
And Rob just
Dawson and Wolchuk knew better during that commercial break than to step in.
Rob just put his hands up. And you should have seen the look on Bill Jones's face. Bill Jones was like, oh.
It's all good.
And then we came back. Yeah. We came back for Brett and Mickey. I'm like, hey, Mickey, you made a good point about that. And it was just like nothing had happened. And you know,
yeah,
me and Mickey, had some legendary yelling at each other contests.
I love talking running backs, man. I really do. They are my favorite position.
Yeah, they always have been.
I love a good running back. Yeah. Thanks, damn it. He really did.
Deuce.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Ranger news, and there's a lot of it. As the offseason, it's fast and furious. It's crazy. Like, there's no other sport. Maybe the NBA is kind of like this. Like, the season's over, and then boom, we've got the NBA draft. And then boom, we've got free agency. But it's literally like, day the World Series ends, next day we've got moves happening in Major League Baseball. We had trades happen literally the day after the Dodgers won their 8th World Series. But we start here, of course, on the home of your Rangers. Rangers today made some moves to their front office. So Chris Young is president of baseball operations. Team now promoted Ross Fenstermaker, who has spent the last 15 years in the front office, to general manager. They also hired Cole Figueroa from the Leading Edge Tampa Bay organization as assistant general manager. So Figueroa, according to Evan Grant, has also spent parts of 3 years in the majors as a player, now will slide into Fenstermaker's previous role. So this is probably to just alleviate some of the stress on Chris Young. I don't think anything's really going to change with the hierarchy and the decision-making here, but you know, maybe just take a little bit of some of the, you know, everything, all the plates that Chris Young's juggling, now Fenstermaker can take over. And I'm excited about Figueroa. He's only 37 years old. This could be one of the top young up-and-coming executives in Major League Baseball. Clearly, Tampa Bay knows how to put together a competitive roster with not having, you know, elite spending that can accompany it. And it's not like the Rangers and Ray Davis, to my knowledge, aren't willing to spend. I think a lot of this will have to do with the finalization of the TV deal. But it's not the Dodgers and it's not the Yankees, right? So, you know, you're going to have to maybe get creative in certain ways. But I like, you know, early on, we'll have to see what the return on is with this. But some of the moves the Rangers have made now with the front office moving forward. Maybe we get to interview, you know, Fenstermaker. Maybe, you know, CY says, hey, I don't want to do an interview one a week, and here comes Ryan Fenstermaker.
Well, that'd be nice. I've heard he's a great guy, you know, and I'd love to, you know, get his thoughts and stuff. But
it's,
man,
a cool story. Starting as an intern with the Rangers and has worked his way up.
Yeah, and you know, everybody loves him. I hope that what we've seen as far as the leadership structure post JD is what continues.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, because JD was in Tampa, I wonder if John Daniels put in, you know, a good word when it comes to the assistant GM Cole Figueroa, because obviously they worked together this past year in Tampa Bay. Now we have Nathan Eovaldi. He has declined his $20 million option with the Rangers. He will test free agency. I do believe Nathan Eovaldi wants to come back to Texas. The question will be what ends up happening with Sasaki, who I do think the Rangers are going to be interested in. I don't think it's like an either or here with Eovaldi or Sasaki, but maybe Evo says, hey, I want to sign earlier in the offseason than wait and let this play out. I think if the Rangers were to get Sasaki from Japan, they're probably going to be out on Nathan Eovaldi. If Eovaldi says, dude, I want to get in camp, I want to make sure that this thing's buttoned up and I'm taken care of, maybe they end up with both, which is kind of what I'm hoping, because I want Nasty Nate back in the fold here. I understand the velocity dip every once in a while, and this is going to happen with pitchers. But if this team's able to get into the postseason, there's nobody you feel better about than Nasty Nate being on the bump. And I expect this team to be challenging and competing for the postseason again.
Yeah, I do too. Unfortunately, right now, I don't expect Eovaldi back. I hope. I demand. I say, you know, Ray, come on, man. But after letting one World Series hero go in Monty last year, Eovaldi, 34 years old, some of his metrics dipping, having a hard time staying healthy, I think Ray looks at this as one that we got to pass on and try to develop the youngsters. And, you know, it'll be another step in the direction of, you know, it looking like the Rangers are going to be satisfied. And that's terrifying.
Bummer.
You know? Chris said it last offseason. What you do after your first World Series defines how baseball history remembers you. Do you want to go for a dynasty? Do you want to try to dominate a half decade or a decade as the Astros have done? And so far, it looks like Ray is more interested in accumulating more hundreds of millions of dollars than doing what it takes to win another championship, old Chuck.
Yeah.
He you can go back and read the interview that he did in the morning news opening day last year, talking about basically, we don't want to be luxury taxpayers. Mm-hmm. I fundamentally believe that if you do that multiple years in a row, you're setting yourself back, you know, because of the loss of draft picks and the luxury tax, basically. He looks at that as prohibitive for his management style or ownership style.
Yeah, and CY talking to the media today, Jeff Wilson, who of course covers the team for All City, said that CY says that they will have the budget to operate this offseason, but he did add that the TV situation is a factor that Ray Davis frequently apologizes for. Now, maybe we end up getting an announcement that this thing's taken care of in a couple of months, but I'm with you. It's not like it's a poor ownership group. They've got the money to spend it if they want to, but when you do have the contract that they handed out with Jacob deGrom, and hopefully this year Jacob deGrom stays healthy and can go ahead and compete for a Cy Young, they're going to justify that deal. But maybe that is something where Ray's like, I'm a little bit nervous about handing out another $500 million contract here.
Understandably. You know, the great teams hold their executives accountable to get more of those decisions right than wrong, and I think CY has earned that right. I say respectfully, Ray, that might have been a mess up, but look at all the other good stuff I did. You know, and I really hope that CY got an assurance to do another deal, because you know he's coveted. You know, other teams around baseball would have loved to get CY. He's one of the greatest things we have going for any DFW sports team as far as assets. And I'm excited about what he can do. But the other part of me says he's here because he's put down roots here. And he wanted to come back to Texas to raise a family. And, you know, that's the real reason why he's so amenable to being a GM on a team that, you know, until further notice, is slashing, is cutting slowly post-World Series, Wolchuk. I think about it.
And you might very well be right. I mean, well, I guess this option will be very telling.
Big.
With
big.
That, I mean, David Robertson also declined his option. He's going to be a free agent, 39 years old. Do you want to bring him back? What's the bullpen look like? I think that's going to be a massive question mark moving this offseason for the Rangers. Now, despite a fall off in offensive production, Rangers still have three finalists for the Silver Slugger Award announced today. Corey Seager at shortstop, two-time winner Marcus Semien at second, and then Josh Smith in the utility category.
Wow. There you go.
So both Seager and Semien won last year. Of course, this would be the first time being able to win for Josh Smith. Rangers did do their local awards, which is voted on by the media that covers them. Corey Seager won Player of the Year. Kirby Yates won Pitcher of the Year, Wyatt Langford Rookie of the Year, Janko the Harold McKinney Good Guy Award. That's our glue guy, baby.
And then
Josh Smith won the Richard Durrett Hardest Working Ranger
Award. There you go.
And well deserved there.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Smitty, Josh Smith. Now, when you look at the rest of Major League Baseball right now, today there was a big signing as the Yankees are going to be keeping Gerrit Cole. Now, he opted out of his deal. They've reworked it. So right-hander Gerrit Cole is going to remain with the Yankees. Four-year, $144 million deal that he opted out of. Discussions on a potential contract extension are going to continue, but this is something where Gerrit Cole is not going to be leaving. He's going to
so he opted
stay.
Out and then did the same deal.
Yes,
to stay.
But
I thought he got a year added at $36 million.
They're working on an extension here. That's the main thing. Okay. But they're working together. I guess there's enough mutual feelings where like this thing's going to get ironed out. But the club voided his opt out with a 1 year $36 million extension to get his contract, there making it 5 years $180 million.
Okay.
Was the story with that. And then we did have, of course, the news with, as I mentioned, David Robertson. But this was crazy that I saw with Halloween just passing. Doug Glanville, who's been a friend of the show, was telling a story to the morning news. Doug Glanville actually entered a costume contest. He dressed up as himself for Halloween in North Carolina 13 years ago. Went ahead and wore his entire Texas Rangers uniform, and he had his turtleneck, which I guess is famous for his baseball card that he has, and he ends up winning a costume contest and got himself a $200 gift card. Nobody recognized him, not a single person. They asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Doug Glanville," and then afterwards, he said, "I'm actually Doug Glanville." And everyone looked at him and said, "No, you're not. That's not true." And he said, "No, seriously, I am." He pulls up the picture, does the side-by-side. But what the hell? Like 2003, played with the Rangers. I guess when you're in North Carolina, like it's not in Texas. Maybe people in Texas would have known. But in North Carolina, not a big enough deal, I suppose. But he said, "I suppose being anonymous was something I craved at different times during my playing days, but I also didn't want to be forgotten. A typical retired baseball player's conundrum. We want to play, trick, and get the treat, but he did not get recognized here, and he wins a costume contest for it."
A+ for self-awareness on that one. Yeah, I just think a lot of athletes are anonymous. You know, you can't recognize them, especially in the NFL, NHL, you know, where you got the helmets and everything, but absolutely in baseball, out of market.
Oh, dude. Know? Who do you think would be the DFW athlete that would, like, go most unrecognized? Would it probably be a Dallas Stars player, you think?
Yeah, it had to be the Stars.
Like one of the hockey players?
Yeah. Otter.
Yeah,
something like
that. Yeah, but
he's so big. I wonder, like, would anybody recognize, you know, Wyatt Johnson right now?
Brandon Aubrey. You think he could go out there and get recognized?
Old Butter. Well, he's a local legend.
He is Plano.
He probably can't even go to the grocery store in Plano.
The
guys like Wolchuk would be mobbing him.
I would be. Brian Anger, maybe the punter.
Yeah.
Long snapper.
Long snapper.
I mean, were you getting recognized all the time there at LSU, your long snapping days?
No, heck no. Except when you, like, messed up.
That'll get you.
Like, one of my buddies, like, to this day, he has his pinky finger is bent badly because of me.
You snap it.
I snapped it low. We used to have blocks.
He was the holder?
Yeah, he was a holder. We used to have blocks, like for kicking blocks, kicking tees. I snapped it low, and it pinned his finger against the block.
You ripped that thing, though, didn't you?
And it did, yeah, and it broke, and he still to this day has like a hook.
Oh, my God.
Like stallback finger?
Like that, yeah. Because of me, I go, God, you got to get that fixed. He's like, oh, no, man.
That's disgusting.
But he does. He literally, he has a hook because of me at the end. Pregame in Kentucky, I snapped it back there, and it got caught between the block and the ball, and it broke it.
Oh, dear God.
Hazards of being a holder, man.
Yeah.
Well, as we don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, we do. There's a lot of hazards out there. Broken fingers, toes, maybe some.
Well, heck, last week you had the snap that the holder wasn't ready for, your LSU Tigers, and he just gets hit with the ball, and he's like, wait, why are we snapping it?
I have some thoughts, and I can't say them on air after that. I'll tell you guys off air. I have some thoughts about that.
And then finally, Nick Castellanos was being interviewed about who his favorite umpire is, and the answer was pretty unexpected.
When you're playing, is there an umpire like behind the plate where you're like, I'm happy this guy's behind home plate, like he does a good job out there?
For me, it's going to sound funny, but Angel Hernandez.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
So you miss him then?
I mean, he always called fair on me. My dad was also his dad's pulmonary physician when his dad was going through lung cancer treatments and stuff. So, you know, Angel always took care of me.
Wow. There you go. Conflict of interest.
It's all you have to do to get a fair shake from Angel Hernandez.
Tells us everything we need to know about old Angel, huh?
Yeah. Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
A proper round tripper here for you in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Rangers. And they do have a lot of good players on their team still. They could absolutely put together a very strong contender. Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, some young guys show up in a big way. I'm not giving up hope, but man, I think Ray Davis is increasing the level of difficulty right when it was getting good. We got to run, though. Two guys, one booth, an audio celebration of Cowboys game day coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Welcome back. 214 asked Brian, are you by chance talking about Don Higginbotham with the hooked pinky?
Donnie H?
No?
No, Todd Tomlinson.
A little different one.
Todd Tomlinson.
Yeah, I totally thought he might have made a connection with his uncle playing LSU.
No, Todd Tomlinson. Yeah, right before we were in Lexington, Kentucky, I snapped the ball, skipped off the bluegrass, and hit him right in the in the finger. And he never missed a beat, though. That finger was jacked. And he
got the hold down?
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather have a super jacked hook pinky like Broadus is describing, or would you rather just have four fingers?
It's like,
I'm trying to decide.
I don't know. I kind of like the ball dinger.
Seriously. I mean, that's what it looked like. It's like,
how do you wear gloves after that? You're a mittens guy forever.
It's a segment of the nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. It is time now for that audio celebration. Two guys, one booth. Here's Wolchuk and Gia Follow.
Let's do it. And that 5 o'clock football fight brought to you by Eric and Brian was also brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-Dubs is football. Let's do it. Two guys, one booth.
Great idea, babe. Let's start in the pregame. Let's go into the owner's box. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Christy Scales giving us the goods alongside your owner and general manager, Jerry Jones. And, of course, they had a Zeke interaction because we were all trying to figure out what's the deal with Zeke. Didn't make the trip. Inactive, disciplinary, skipping meetings. What's the deal? Take it away, Jerry.
Well, you got to love somebody that plays the game as physical as he plays it. You got to love somebody that practices as hard as he practices. He's inspirational and always has been. I've still got pictures of Zeke running up and down in the dressing room before the game with didn't have his pads on, let's put it like that. But motivating and getting his horse going.
Sure. Okay, wait. He was snapping picks.
I heard that. Did he say pads?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said pants.
I think it's pads.
He did say pads, but one leads to the other.
Oh, okay. So if he said pads, then this is a no harm, no foul situation. The text was lighting up in real time with what the F did he just say? It sounded like, and we should run it back here, it sounded like on first, like in real time, we thought he was saying, I have pictures of Zeke without his pants on.
Pants, yeah. You and I didn't say anything.
Right.
I think he said pads.
Well, he did say pads, but he said it in a way that would suggest that wasn't the only thing that he wasn't wearing.
Yeah, because I heard pads in real time, but I still thought the same thing you guys did.
Yeah, okay.
The way that he set that up.
Didn't have his pads on. Leave it at that.
Eric looked at me like, did he just say pants?
Because the way he made it seem was like, it's not just your traditional, I'm out of uniform.
He's got naked pictures of Zeke. That's what I'm feeling.
I also was thinking, like, I'm trying to figure out how he was trying to say this, and I was thinking maybe when he said pictures, it was like pictures in my mind, like burned in my brain forever of Zeke doing these things, or perhaps he's got Polaroids.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just starting to get some Vince McMahon vibes. That's all I know.
that was a wild one. That took us by surprise there in the pregame.
Man, you never know what you're going to get in a 9-hour Cowboys game day, pregame, game, and postgame. And we now go to the game. And this was Babe. And really, shout out to the Atlanta Falcons and the audio team there for the broadcast. But, hey, watch the Mexico, guys.
Cousins back in the gun. Robinson on his left. He's obviously changing the play.
Watch the Mexico.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
It's one of my favorite overseas plays.
Mexico. Damn right, it's overseas. Been. There's a body of water there, okay?
all right. Forget. I was driving home. I was surprised because Brad is a buttoned-up professional, and maybe he knows something that I don't, but here he is addressing the Falcons kicker.
Young Ho Koo.
Which is what the fans, you hear
they're
the boo.
They're yelling Koo as he comes on for the extra point.
Now, for the remainder of the game, he just went with Koo.
Yeah.
And so maybe he was, somebody alerted him. it looks as much like Young Ho as anything ever has, but it's Young Wei.
Young Wei Koo.
And you almost think to yourself, if you're building out your spotter board or whatever, you're probably, you almost want to just spell it Young Wei. Don't even put the Ho on there.
Yeah.
Because
I often say that.
You could slip into that trap. I mean, who hasn't?
Absolutely could. Yeah, you want a phonetic there at that point. All right, let's get to...
who am I to tell Sham anything about broadcasting?
No, but...
Hall of Famer, legend.
It is Young Wei.
No, that's a damn good point.
Young Wei Koo.
We had the Falcons getting back-to-back sacks.
Third and nine, and again, it's been a historically bad Atlanta pass rushing team this year. And now they're all revved up, right?
Right.
Right.
Shotgun third and nine. Hunter Lipke is in on Prescott's right. Snap is back. Good protection, steps up, avoids a sack, again.
Wow.
This time, Grady Jarrett, who's the best defensive lineman they've got.
Yeah.
So the worst pass rushing team in the league has two sacks on that possession.
That is correct.
Forget right game, man.
Yeah. That's when I was driving home listening, and I was just shaking my head. You're almost like laughing in disgust. Yeah. Like, I can't believe all we talked about all week long was just how bad that pass rush is and was historically. Historically bad. They were pacing 13 sacks total for the season, and then they went and got three yesterday. They had six coming in.
Crazy.
It was a get-right game for somebody, that's for sure.
Sure was.
Shout out to the get-right. All right, let's go.
By the way, have you seen a picture of Reggie the other day? Did you see
he tweeted out Halloween?
For Halloween,
my man has got like his hair is just like crazy now.
Yeah, they dressed up
going full all natural.
Was he dressed up as? I thought he was just kind of just not caring anymore because he's got outstanding hair. He looks like Ed Reed. He's kind of got the Ed Reed look to him.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got the beard. Maybe he was going as Ed Reed for Halloween.
He looks Ed Reed's good. Bust. I like it.
Bill Belichick's favorite football player.
Yeah. It's hard to Dawson, got a picture there or something?
I'm working on it. Okay. I was thinking about retweeting it from @GBagNation if I can find it. Is it on X or?
I thought he posted it on his account. Yeah. I thought that's why I saw it.
Well,
because he was ordering wings. He was watching the Thursday night game.
Oh, he was B-dubbing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was B-dubbing. Yeah, he was. Absolutely.
That's what you do if you're going to be footballing. All right. This was another moment. I was driving home. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. This was Nostradamus, Brad Sham.
And heaven forfend, they should get a takeaway.
No. What is that?
You know,
what is a takeaway?
It's something the Cowboys don't get. For all the talk about Prescott's interceptions, and some of them have been bad, the real disparity comes in their complete failure to take the ball away. Third and 10, Cousins back. Rushed from behind, hit and sack.
The ball is out.
Kicked around. The Cowboys got the ball on a Donovan Wilson fumble recovery.
Ask and you shall receive, Brad Sham. Ask and you shall receive. I blame you. Why didn't you ask for this 3, 4, 5 games ago? They do what you tell them to do. You know that, right?
Yeah, not so much.
I love what Babe had going on yesterday. It was amazing.
Dude.
I blame you.
So good. What perfect timing. And
really was.
He put in the call.
Spot on.
That really was. That was awesome.
Did you see the picture?
I did.
Brian showed it to you.
Yeah. Wait, brought us a show and picks over there?
He knows how to get the picks.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Oh, and he's going with the glasses with the frames there. Yeah,
looks rock starish to me.
Very studious.
Very studious.
We miss you, Reg. Now the penalties were becoming to be a massive issue. Apparently, the pre-snap penalties really ticked Brad off.
False start.
Wow.
This team cannot stay out of its own way.
False start. Offense on the 73. That's a 5-yard penalty.
Tyler Smith. If you see the Cowboys walking down the street, hope they're wearing loafers. Because if they're wearing lace-up shoes, they're going to trip over the shoelace.
Wow. Wow, players, you hear that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's fantastic, dude. I hope they're wearing loafers. I think you got to change. You got to update it. And, you know, I hope they're wearing slides, you know, or perhaps Crocs. Is anybody wearing loafers these days? That's a little outdated. You know, but I'm also being
people that wear the
penny loafer. Yeah,
I didn't realize the socks. Yeah. And a lot of dudes like pants above the ankle.
Okay,
draft
night vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know how people can do that without blistering their heels and having stinky shoes.
Yeah.
Both those things are happening automatically for
The secret is the no-show sock.
They make socks for guys like this now. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And that saves you. It really does.
Yeah. My God.
You talk about one of the worst smells in the world.
That's
the shoe that's had a bare foot inside of it.
No.
You still don't get
saved. I drank a beer out of it one night, didn't I? Didn't I drink out of yours?
You did.
Yeah. Gym shoe? Epic. I drink out of your gym shoe?
It was my sweaty sauna sneaker, yes. Yeah.
You still don't get saved, as I was making the point of wearing the tight-fitting pants with loafers on. The no-show socks, you know, won't save you from that humiliation.
Still not here for that look?
No. That's horrible.
I wouldn't mind that for a little...
It's very effeminate.
A remote show bet payoff Dawson.
Did you see like the...
Show a little calf.
Did you see like the Atlanta coach is like their head coach, so he was wearing the pants that were the long, but they were up over his calves.
Oh, yeah, that's like what Mike McDaniel does as well.
Yeah, they wear the joggers, but they pull
them
like
capri.
Capri, they're like knicker pants.
They are.
You know, yeah, so.
Excuse me?
Old school, man.
Well, that's like golf, you know, above the knee.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
A little tight lining.
Yeah. But if you're gonna wear those pants, you got to go all out. You got to wear the high socks. You got to wear the golfer cap.
Like 1958 look. But
like Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians would wear that hat.
Bruce Arians would do that for sure.
Okay. This was, by all accounts, the most laughable moment of the entire afternoon.
What the hell?
Waits at his 50. Oh, fake punt. Anger throws it. Interception dropped at the 40-yard line because the intended receiver,
C.J. Goodwin,
fell down.
Now,
the last thing you ever want to hear is the intended receiver, C.J. Goodwin,
fell down. But yeah, that was just a terrible call all the way around. David Moore said Mike McCarthy called for a punt. Coordinator John Fossil recommended Dallas go for the fake. That was the conversation that led to that third quarter call.
Yeah.
Fossil made it clear Sunday he does not regret the call. He gave the Falcons credit for stopping it.
There you go.
And Brian Anker, he had a completion on a fake punt a couple years ago, didn't he, against the Niners?
I think it's been a couple years since they've done that, yeah.
You know, I like the call at the time.
I just kind of feel like that you need to put a receiver in that position.
Sure.
That's just my, you know, put a guy that's got some height that you have on the other side of the field. If you're going to throw it to somebody that knows how to go up and get a ball and against the smaller defensive back over there.
Just keep the damn offense on the field.
Well, I mean, it's kind of ruined once they're covering your guys, isn't it? You kind of need to get a guy wide open.
He couldn't separate. I mean, he struggled to get off the line and he turned to kind of body up. Like he was going for a rebound, and the ball was already
obvious. Well, Atlanta was aware, and they knew that it didn't matter. We can mug you. Like, we can interfere with you, and you can't call it here. Pass interference is non-existent.
Yeah. You can treat the quote-unquote receiver in that scenario the same way the Patriots treated the Colts receivers all those years.
Absolutely.
Versus the Peyton Manning-led Colts.
Hmm. All right, the penalties continued, and Brad, this is where Dak got a little bit emotional after the Fergie penalty.
From being right in the game.
I know you have been, but you haven't been watching the NFL if you haven't seen how quickly these games change.
However, let's have a false start first.
False start. Offense number 87. That's a 5-yard penalty. Second down.
Ferguson, Prescott saying, please don't do that.
Man, I'll tell you, one of the funnier moments coming out of halftime, you get the ball. And Pam Oliver's talking to Mike McCarthy, and he's saying, like, what's the key to the second half here? And as he's saying, we got to stay ahead of the chains, it's whistles blowing, first play, it's a false start, Terrence Steele, first and 15. That's how you start the second half. It was
maddening.
It was beautiful.
You know, and it's so frustrating as a fan because right as things start to get good, there's a penalty, and you realize, no, not again. This is not real. And every time it keeps happening, I'm like, okay. This was a bad run, but it can't continue, and then it does. But I want Dak to lean into that. I want Dak to get in the mindset of, I know what's going on. These kids aren't focused enough. I want him busting their butts like Magic Johnson with Vlade Divac of my childhood or Tom Brady or any of these other, you know, trash wide receivers that Belichick kept bringing in. Like, treat them all like they're idiots. And they have to be on the ball 100% to get your validation and approval. That's how a veteran leader does it. Make them afraid to step on the field with Dak Prescott larger than life, right? And when you do that, I think you have a chance of being a real sports leader, you know? But yeah, I think he wants to, it's good vibes, we're friendly, I'm going to communicate and be the cool older guy on the team now. That's, you got to break out of that and let them hate you for the betterment of the team.
Yeah, yeah, and I think there may be a place for that when you have super dictator coach, where then you can kind of slide in and be like, hey, you know, pat on the back a little bit, but you
you're
don't
riding
have
that wake.
This is how many years now of McCarthy where it's undisciplined, it's penalties all over the place.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, at some point, a leader, and that would need to be Dak for sure, putting his foot down, and now it's not just on Sunday, it's Monday through Saturday. Everything needs to be pristine.
Yes.
Zeke, even though you're my boy, you're late to meetings, you're not playing. I'm stepping up and I'm making the call from inside the house, bro. I love you, but you got to be here on time.
Yeah.
All that, and it's a lot to ask for your quarterback when it's not happening with the coaching staff in the front office and it's not the entire organization. So it's tough to ask for one guy to come in and just spearhead an entire deal. But hey, Dak, you're here for the next 4 years. You're getting paid plenty of money. This feeling that you're feeling right now is not feeling any good.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we have some last week stuff.
We got some stuff from the San Francisco game. This was a weird one, talking about massages.
I like the way Christie said Oriari's got a handheld massager that he's working on. If it were Dak Prescott, there would be four masseuses from Sweden all over. Shoulder, neck.
I think that's Deshaun
Here,
Watson.
Babe, you just take this little handheld. Rub these balls.
Second and one. Handoff, Garendo trying to get up the middle. Stopped by Kendricks and Wheat. It'll be third and inches.
Not gonna lie,
I had a half a dozen responses, and
you do. I own it.
Added them all.
Let me just tell you though, I own a handheld massager.
I do too.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think a professional athlete should have to massage himself.
Again,
you know what I'm saying? It's 27-10. It's about to head south.
It's 27-10.
Mexico.
All right, just have some fun here with me, Brad.
Babe would have rather seen 12 Swedish masseuses having their hands all over Dak's body in that moment than Dak doing something with a handheld to himself. Phenomenal.
I finally got a great mechanical massager that you can like put in your chair at home. Oh. I swear, this thing is amazing. Oh. It might actually be better than a human's hands.
Okay.
Are you serious? Yep. Is this for the whole back, or like does it?
You know,
just put it on the back of your chair.
I started up top, neck and shoulders, and then it just kind of slides down. Right when I want a little lower, I just lean forward in my chair like I'm locking in. Let it slide
down
a little
bit.
Boom, back to firm. Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. Right. I wouldn't give up on them. You know, if you're looking for something like that, you've looked in the past because you know the person in your life won't give you a good shoulder massage. I understand that struggle well.
It's tough,
you know?
Yeah.
But they've had some breakthroughs with the technology.
Well, does it feel like there's 12 sets of Swedish hands on you? Can you go that far with it?
At least two.
That might be something we got to create.
I'll take it.
Swedish massage.
All right. Well, I guess that'll do it, man.
There it is.
Two guys, one booth.
Thank you, guys. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We're coming back to Cross with the Fan after dark, see what they have cooking. We'll get you set up for the Cowboys Hour, which is coming up at 7 o'clock with Kevontae Turpin and so much more, and we're back with that here in the nation. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 the Fan. Coming up at 7 o'clock, you will have the Cowboy Hour, and Kevontae Turpin is going to join the show. Looking forward to getting his thoughts, and so much more. After that, you'll have the Fan After Dark with Blake and somebody else.
Fred.
Right? Yeah, Blake and Fred.
He's doing his mythical high school show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he'll be rendezvousing.
So they do the Monday high school show that airs when? On Friday?
Wednesday.
He's coming from an HOA meeting. I just wanted to tease him a little bit.
So tomorrow's the high school show.
I think Wednesday's the high school show or Friday.
Okay.
It's one of those days.
Wait, why is he at the HOA meeting, though?
He says he's going to talk around there. He said he almost just cussed out the guy at the HOA meeting. It's roofing stuff.
Don't mess with the man's roof.
A lot of people getting their roofs redone here.
Yeah. After the storm today, too, you might have some more.
Yes, sir. You have a good weekend, Blake?
Yeah. It was all right.
Sounds like it could have been better.
It could have been better. You know, when you wake up and you see the team play the way the team played, it makes it tough. Because that's how I spend my Sunday mornings. That's how I spend them.
Waiting for the Cowboys to play?
Just getting your mind and body ready for kickoff?
Talons ready?
My talons were ready. I've tried to disassociate my team as the fandom part of it, so it's not as bad when they lose. But, you know, it still hurts a little bit of the heart.
It's impossible.
You know, everyone on socials know you root for the team, and you don't look smart. You look like a clown.
It takes the energy out of the town. I feel like it's like an overcast day, cloudy.
Yeah.
Kind of like living in Seattle.
I'm glad you said that, Gavin, because I think Dallas, I haven't lived that many places, but Dallas is one of those places when the sports teams are not good, it's very aware when you're at Walmart, when you're at your local.
Well, you see they're 50% off with the.
you see it in the town. You know the team lost.
The people.
Just how the morale of the city. So.
Yeah, the vibes are all off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want those World Series vibes back where you're high-fiving strangers in a grocery store just because you know they have a Rangers hat on.
That run that we had with the Stars and the Mavs last year. Yeah,
that was special
as well.
That
was fun. Every other night, you were either basketballing or hockey.
That was hockey.
A blast.
Hopefully we get that again, but this time they both finished the fat.
Yeah.
Champions.
Could happen.
Man, we got Baker versus Mahomes tonight.
Yeah, we do.
That
a couple
OU
of Red
Tech
Raiders
matchup. There was like 63-59 or whatever a few years back. That was an insane game.
Had Joe Mixon go off in that game.
Yeah,
too.
Joe Mixon, D.D. Westbrook, I think, was a receiver for OU.
Fire them cannons tonight.
Fire them cannons.
I know Baker left Tech in a huff. Right? Yeah, I imagine him in his convertible, like double barrel in the university on his way out of town.
I think that was his first time back there too, and he was ticked off. He said he did one of the stupidest things. They throw tortillas on the field there at Tech. He picked up one of those tortillas and took a bite out of it.
Ooh.
God knows where that tortilla had been.
Yeah.
He could have gotten
herpes.
Says
the man who just drank out of a margarita bottle in the crowd at the championship parade.
Right. No, it was parade day.
Those tortillas get boofed on the way in. That's how they sneak them in.
There was poop on that.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah, it doubles his TP, I heard, there at the stadium. Was there any overlap there in their times at Tech? Are they buddies?
I think Mahomes' first year there might have been Baker. I don't know. They do have a relationship, but essentially that's why Baker left, was because they went with Mahomes.
Okay. Well,
good decision.
How about the Mavs? Blake, did you go to the game yesterday?
Wasn't able to go to the game. Had to be on the radio, so I got to deliver some great post game. We took some great callers. I don't know if we're still going to be able to be on the post game show because of those callers. It got a little vulgar, got a little crazy.
Wow.
Did you guys encourage it?
No.
I heard Fred, like, I was driving home. You guys were kind of cheerleading for some craziness, though.
Inciting riots?
I think Fred was, especially.
I think when you're the post and you've already heard you guys illustrate so beautifully how the game went.
Yeah.
We just love hearing the Tolos' reactions to it. We kind of let them go unfiltered until it gets a little too far, like our boy Ramen. He got a little too excited, started throwing out some stuff. We had to get him off there. Then he called back, tried to double dip.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to double dip.
Did he use the name Ramen?
His name was R-A-M-E-N. And it started great. I thought it was like Ramen, like the food.
Ramen?
He was like, no,
that's
like
Ramen.
This.
Is that Ramen?
It's like Ramen?
Ramen.
I have a ramen.
I have a bunch in my pantry right now. That's Ramen.
Mm.
Do you know where Ramen originated from?
I do not. I mean, I'm not trying to take a quiz right now either, I'll be honest.
Ramen.
I didn't know either.
Japan?
Italy.
It was China. We thought it was Japan.
Damn
we
it.
got corrected by the Tolos that it was China.
I said Italy.
What a dumb answer.
Well, I thought it was something.
Get this guy off the damn draft show, am I right?
No, I need to go sit in the corner. I'm just going to say, though, the ramen part, I thought when you said,
Italy.
It's not what you expect. That's
okay, fair. Pastas, noodles.
Yeah, I was just throwing that out.
Yeah.
The guns are up here on the text. Baker transferred from Tech because Kingsbury wanted to start Mahomes.
Yeah.
The 806. Actually, Baker left because David Webb took his job, and he knew that they had a kid named Mahomes waiting to get to campus.
Was it Davis Webb? Is that Davis
Webb? Yeah, Davis Webb.
Davis Webb. Went to Cal, didn't he? I think from...
Yeah, Davis Webb transferred to Cal. I think Baker
ended up
left because they were starting Mahomes. Yeah. Baker was freshman of the year. Davis Webb didn't take Baker's job.
Come fact check
that one.
Oh, are you fact checking?
Yeah, that's not accurate.
Wow, look at that.
Did you just get community noted?
Yeah.
Sounds like you just community noted somebody.
But I appreciate you.
Red Raider of record here.
Hey, I married into a Red Raider family.
Yeah.
Brother-in-law writes for Red Raider Sports.
To prove it.
I do. Gets me every day.
No amount of calamine lotion can get rid of that rash.
But coconut oil does wonders.
Yeah, it really does, dude. Coconut oil is, I mean, that's really a jack-of-all-trades kind of product.
I cook with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrific to cook with.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A good flavor. Who do you think had a more crescendo between Baker and Patty back then? Walking around Tex.
What do you mean by crescendo?
You know.
You mean cachet?
Cachet. I like that better.
Yeah.
Who do you think had more?
So does Webster.
Blake, you and I need to do a show together. Just mispronounce words.
Blake can leave it.
Did you mean charisma?
Hey, welcome back to We're Really Dumb show.
I was going to say a different word, but I chose that word, and I should have went with the first word.
Crescendo.
But either way.
Cachet?
Who do you think had more cachet back then?
Baker.
Baker.
Got to be Baker.
Baker was like hitting at the Dougie. And, oh, wait, no. He was
Baker was a walk-on, wasn't he?
At Tech.
Yeah.
Baker
yeah.
a walk-on? I mean,
Baker was there for a year.
But that dude's crotch first all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hell. He's a badass.
Unless he's bailing, you know?
I miss those commercials with him living next to the stadium. I thought those were hilarious.
There was a time where we were
taking over.
We were wondering if Baker was a better actor than he was football player.
Yeah.
And then he's disproved it. But I do think we need to get some of those Baker clips back. I mean, he does a great job in the Heisman House.
Yes. I love the Heisman House. I love that one.
Pretty good.
Fantastic.
Pretty so good what actor. Does crescendo even mean? Where does
hitting
that?
The peak?
Yeah, it's like a build, like a climax.
So it kind of works. Who do you think had more of a peak?
I think you should ask the ladies of tech, you know, who's better at the crescendo.
Get some opinions. Although, I believe Pat was with his high school girlfriend.
Okay. That's right.
So
still the same lady he's with now. Yes, the same lady?
Yeah.
Living the good...
Living the good life.
You know, love at first sight type of life. You know, high school sweetheart type of deal.
Yeah, man.
I think that's where the real happiness is.
Yeah.
I think we've gone wayward here in our culture a little bit. Pat Mahomes probably living the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what you think. I'm telling you what, childhood sweethearts, it's cool when you're a child. Yeah. Y'all fools get to growing up. You're like, man, you sure went a different direction than I did.
sweet tarts. At 877-881-1053. Tim DiTolo said he tried to save you guys yesterday.
Tim and Carthage did call. Yeah. Shout out to Tim.
Man, that sounds like a hell of a show, but I mean, post game, I know what it's like just in the post game with the BAC well over legal limit. I can't imagine.
Ron.
Hours later,
we had a couple.
Rodeo Ron. Rodeo Ron.
Yeah, Ron was here.
We gave all the Tolos time to talk.
And then Scott and Jersey will usually get pretty drunk.
Yeah. Scott and Jersey like, oh, thank you guys for me being on.
Yeah.
what do you think about this, huh?
He always thanks us. Oh, thanks. Guys, thank you for having me being on. Yeah, I'm here.
It's overall just acceptance, though, that this is gone, right? There's nobody left in denial out there.
Nobody was in denial, but it was still a lot of passion, even for the loss. You know, when fans don't care whether you win or lose, that's when you know that it's a gone cause. But they were just pissed that they're paying money to go see this team play, and that's how they're performing. That's what we kind of got echoed through all the calls.
It is one of the coolest things about Cowboys fans. Like, I've heard a lot as this season has gone downhill from media, like, well, what are we going to talk about now? Or, well, what do we sell now? It's the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys having a massively historic, disappointing season still going to be the number one story in town. And I do not feel like the Cowboy fans are going to stop watching. We got a couple folks on text saying, I'm boycotting, I'm only listening. And we absolutely support that. Obviously, checking in with Brad and Babe is an experience. You know, and we encourage it. So stay tuned. Kevontae Turpin with the Cowboys Hour. Brad Sham and the guys coming up next, 7 to 8. Then the Fan After Dark with Blake and Fred. Something to tease here real quick.
Yes, sir. So at 8:20, we'll be talking about which Cowboys players do you want to be traded. Ooh. At 8:40, we'll preview this Mavs-Pacers game. And then at 10:20, we'll do our top five things that Dak said that didn't get caught on camera.
All right. Looking forward to that. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control just went 5 flawless once again. Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video and Wolchuk and Chia Follow and brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Addies.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.